conviction that every year during Good Friday, during Easter morning, Resurrection Sunday, during Christmas, time to read the scriptures, because the biblical literacy is a wonderful thing. And let there be light. So, thanks for coming. I am Pastor Steve Crombie. I always marvel at there's so many factors to the story of the resurrection, and it's always tough to nail it down to, okay, what do I want to, but it's one thing, if Jesus was no threat to the Pharisees, why have his tomb sealed and put Roman guards to guard a dead body in a tomb? It's kind of like placing a cinder block on a rock so it doesn't blow away. It's like, if he was a fraud, why is that a problem if the disciples did steal his body away? If he didn't mean anything, if he was a fraud, it's like, there's no threat. But, because if that was true, even though the Pharisees and the teachers of the law didn't believe him in his claims, any reinforcement of his claims, even through deception, would have been trouble for the Pharisees, for the teachers of the law. Because Jesus made some crazy claims. At the trial, when the high priest says, "Well, are you the Messiah?" meaning the anointed one of God. "Are you the Son of God?" What did Jesus say? "I am." And they understood what God's anointed meant. They understood that only powerful, important people got anointed by God. And they understood that him claiming to be the Son of God was a crazy claim. And then Pilate's sign over Jesus on the cross said, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." And then the Pharisees, "No, don't put that there. Put that he claimed to be the King of the Jews." And of course, Pilate blew him off, said, "I wrote what I wrote." But the high priest is admitting right there that Jesus claimed to be the King of the Jews, another one of Jesus' claims. And then the Pharisees are speaking to Pilate after his body is without life, and he says, "This deceiver said after 3 days he would rise again." So he knew what Jesus claimed, that he would rise again after being dead for 3 days. And so they put a seal on the tomb, Pilate's official Roman seal over the rope, or however they sealed that stone. And again, seals don't keep anyone in and out. Seals just show that somebody came or went. And so they put the seal on the stone. So these were some claims deserving death under Jewish law if they were false. But they were true. They were true. And his resurrection proved every claim that Jesus made. It was endorsement. Everything that he said he was endorsed by his resurrection. That he is the Son of God. He is God's anointed one. He is the King of the Jews. The King of kings. The Lord of lords. And that crucifixion took place on what is called Golgotha, which in English means the place of the skull. That is a battleground. The battleground for what Jesus claimed took place on the place of the skull. He won the victory at that place called Golgotha. And that's the battleground for all of us, whether we decide to believe it, to embrace that. It's the wrestling that goes on right here. But Jesus won, and he proved it. And he won it on the place. It could have been, that place could have been called elbow, could have been called, knee, cap. It could have been called a lot of things, right? Could have been called the foot, Mount Foot. But it wasn't called those things. It was called the place of the skull. And that was no coincidence. There's Everything God does, he does for a reason. And so that's the battleground. The battlefield of the mind is where we decide, are we going to believe, take his word at it, believe him, choose to decide that he is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the one of a kind unlike any other. So we read at the end, closed with in John chapter 20, it says, it finished with verse 31, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So right there, there's some major points. Because all that was written, it said the world could not contain the books that could be written of all that Jesus did. We just have the four Gospels, and that's just part of what he did by four different perspectives, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But it says these were written, and I want to look at the few things. One, Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the one that God anointed over all others to be the Savior, to be his Son. The one in the fullness of time was found to be in the womb of a virgin. And we celebrate Christmas, but everything points to his resurrection. That's all that matters. I mean, you can't say that, well, his birth didn't matter. I mean, it was all part of it, but it all, you know, the miracles, the teachings, everything he did, everything he was, all was leading us to this point. The resurrection of Jesus Christ endorsed it all. He did some amazing things, did some miraculous things, but some Old Testament characters did some miraculous things too. But they didn't raise themselves from the dead. And so Jesus is the anointed one, and then Jesus is the Son of God, the one of a kind, and as Ray said, not half man, half God. He was fully man and fully God. And this was the only way. He's uniquely qualified to be the Savior. There's no other person in human history that ever was or ever will be the Savior, the Deliverer, because he was the Son of God. He was the only one that could be the substitute for our sins, that could take the punishment for what you and I have done against a holy and perfect God. Jesus, who was fully human, but knew no sin, not one. Otherwise, he'd have deserved what we all deserve. But he, the sinless Lamb of God, took the punishment that you and I deserved. He took the scourging. He took the spikes. He took death, and he won the victory over it. And then the main key, it says that you may believe. And that by believing, because if you don't mix faith in with these truths that he is the Messiah, he is the Son of God. If you don't apply that, what does it mean to mix it with faith? That you personalize that. You have to personalize that. Until you personalize it by faith, it just stays out there for someone else, yeah. Other people. It stays far away. But faith is like the helium balloon. Heaven is up there, and we're down here. The helium balloon keeps going, but if it has a string to it, it connects it to you. And faith is you connected to God. If without that string, without that connection, you have to have a string attached. Okay? There are strings attached to faith. You have to apply it personally. Otherwise, it's just a story out there. Yeah, he was the Son of God. Yeah, he's the Messiah. But when you, by faith, believe, then you may have life in his name. Life in his name. And this is, Jesus said, I come to bring you life. And not just, you know, air in your lungs and a heartbeat, but life abundantly. Yeah. Life abundantly. And not a life without problems, not a problem-free life. No one gets that. This world has its share of incredible tragedies, incredible hardships, incredible injustices, incredible. I mean, there's sometimes things I hear in the news, I don't even want to know that. I don't even want to think about that. That is so depressing and so outrageously out of order. Just absolutely wicked, wicked things going on around the world. People do horrendously evil, bad things. So it's not a life that's, we're not going to see heaven on this side. We're also not going to see hell on this side either. But Jesus came to give life abundantly, and all the more because of his victory. Because of his victory, because of his resurrection. He overcame this world. He said, in this world you will have trouble, but be encouraged, I've overcome this world. And it doesn't mean you're not going to have problems, you're not going to have challenges, but within those problems and challenges, there will be a life, there will be a richness to it that is so worth it and unlike anything that you thought could be possible. And I have heard of that, and I say it often. It's like, oh, you hear some news, like, oh, that's bad, that's terrible. No, that's good, because from that came this thing that would never have happened without that bad. And then he's going, oh, that's really great, that's good. It's like, well, no, that's bad, because it led to something else here that looks bad. Oh, that's bad. No, that's good, because this thing, and God is always doing these things. God is always doing these things. You guys know what I'm talking about. Something's like, that's horrible. The car broke down. Well, the car broke down, but it allowed me to meet this person that this happened, and I never would have had that happen without the car breaking down. And that's just one example. But Jesus came to give life in his name. Life, not just, well, life now in this period of our however many years we have in this planet, but also eternal life. Eternal life. And I want to say back to life here, I mean, he said he came to give abundant life, and that's a life that is worth repeating for your descendants. He will give you a life that is worth repeating in your offspring, that you have stories, that you have testimonies, you have adventures, you have things to share, and people that want to celebrate what God has done in your life. And God will provide all kinds of those things even in the midst of the difficult, dark places. And sometimes the brightest things come out of the darkest places. And it's wonderful. And so it's not a problem-free, carefree. If you truly live for Jesus, there will never be a greater challenge than that in your life. You will be challenged by that all the time in so many levels, but it'll be worth it. Because he knows how to turn joy, bring joy out of sorrow, and bring order out of disorder, and bring justice out of injustice. And he's coming back. He's coming back. And there's a certain level of restoring. The Lord is my shepherd. He restores my soul now, not just someday in heaven, not just someday in the new earth, but now. But he is coming back to restore and redeem it all and bring it all into perfect order where there's no more sin, no more sorrow, no more horrible, tragic things going on. Right? And that's what the hope we have. So he came to bring life. And only by his resurrection and by faith in his resurrection is that life possible for us. It doesn't come, oh, it just all work out. No, it won't all just work out. You need to put your trust in Christ. You need to put your faith in him resurrected, that he is the Son of God. He's not just a good teacher, historical figure that lived and died and did some nice things. He is the Messiah. He's the deliverer. And then by believing, we receive that life. And we receive an eternal place that he is preparing for us. And then we receive the purpose and joy and healing and plan of God that we walk in. And we see the ability to reign with him forever, which is a mind-blowing thing, in a place where there's no sickness, no sorrow. That's what Jesus meant when he said he came to bring abundant life. And all this is because Jesus was worthy to break the seal of the tomb. And he's worthy, and I want to read, Jesus is a seal breaker. I want to read out of Revelation. And it's just Revelation 5. And then we're going to close with a song. It says, then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. This is John speaking the revelation that he had. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. God captures every prayer that you make, and he keeps them. And they sang a new song, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. You can all be creatures for the day here. They all said, amen. Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. All right, let's just... let's receive this. And feel free to... can we just stand up too and just feel free to join in...
yeah, we need a choir for this.
Yeah.
We need a choir to
be the choir.
Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that we could see it all made new? Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave. He is David's root and the lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of it? He is. Does the Father truly love us?
He does.
Does the Spirit move among us?
He does.
And does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those He loves?
He does.
Does our God intend to dwell again in us?
Yes.
Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. From every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, He has made us a kingdom and priests to God to reign with the Son. Is He worthy? Is He worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is He worthy? Is He worthy? Is He worthy of He is, He is, He has risen, He has risen, He lives, He has risen, He has risen.
Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, God, for sending your Son, for giving your best for us. Father, I pray that we would all celebrate that today, remember that, ponder it, meditate on it. I pray that that truth would change our lives. God, that you would open our eyes to the riches that we have in Christ by faith in you, that all we have to do is believe it. You did all the work. We just have to receive it. And I pray that we would all receive it into our hearts. And Father, that you would send your Spirit and just confirm it in our minds, in our hearts, in our spirits. Lord, bless this day, and we're just grateful for all you've done for us. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody, all you elders and all you creatures and all you guys said, Amen. Amen. All right, have a great day.